Good morning.
Good morning.
Elizabeth Parcells, who has... I always thought of you as a earlier singer. I guess mostly because of the times that I heard you.
Yes, I've done quite a bit of early music in the Boston area, especially with Dan Pinkham, who I've been at King's Chapel for a long time. There's a lot of early music there. And my earlier years in the conservatory, I spent a great deal of time in the early music department. And when I get the opportunity, I still perform it. The opportunities are rarer than they used to be for me, being out of school.
Oh, and the other role, of course, where I've heard you singing operatic arias.
That's right.
And so listening to you singing art songs is kind of a new experience for me.
Well, of course, in conservatory, we're all required to do quite a bit of that, including the German and French literature. I've even done some Italian art songs, which are a lot of fun. But other than recitals that I've set up for myself and my student recitals, I haven't done much of that professionally with the art songs, though I enjoy them a great deal.
This year in the Metropolitan Opera auditions, they opted for not awarding contracts. And according to the New York Times article, the representative of the Metropolitan Opera said that it was not meant to be a reflection on the winners or anything like that. It was just a decision that had been made before the prizes were awarded.
Yeah, that's a fairly common occurrence, and they feel it unfair to tie up a young singer who is obviously promising with a career if they don't have something very worthwhile for them to do. They'd much rather have us all go out and earn our laurels with other companies that can give us good roles and so forth. So if there isn't an availability of work within the company, they feel it is much better for everyone concerned for the young singers to go out and make their way in the world rather than sit around in New York, sitting backstage waiting for a chance to go on.
Yeah, one of the things that fascinated me with the New York Times article, I mean, the New York Times is usually so precise and so accurate, and this was obviously a hastily written article.
Probably had a deadline.
Well, I mean, some of the quotes.
Please don't read them.
I won't read them, but I'm sure all three of the winners would prefer that they hadn't quoted anything at all instead of...
It was interesting because I don't remember talking to the gentleman, and yet I'm quoted there. One of the things that I was a little upset about was that it had made a mention of nerves, and whether I was nervous or not, I certainly wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, said that you acknowledged being very, very nervous about performing at the Met. You know.
I didn't talk to him, and besides, I don't think any professional singer in her right mind would admit to such a thing.
Sure.
Be a little silly. So it was a pretty exciting adventure, and one couldn't help being pretty apprehensive about it. But I noted that all 11 of the finalists were extremely professional, and I didn't see any primeval terror in any of them. We were all just cool, as cool as you can be. It's, you know, sort of almost a gallows situation, but everyone was quite together. There were no scenes, and everybody was very professional.
The other two winners were Vincent Cole and Christine Donahue. Vincent Cole took the first prize and Christine Donahue the second. And in that same New York Times article, it says that Mr. Cole, a 26-year-old tenor from New York City, was the recipient of the first prize of $5,000. And Miss Donahue from Kingston, Pennsylvania, was awarded a contract to sing at the Barcelona Opera Company in addition to her second prize of
$40,000. $40,000?
That's what it says right there in black and white. Yeah,
gee,
complete
I
with
didn't
commas.
See
and
that.
$40,000.
Wow, lucky girl.
Yeah, so I decided that winning second place is ever so much better than winning first place.
No, I think it sort of went down like 5-4-3, but that is, that's wonderful. In my haste, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That is wonderful.
$40,000.
Mm. Gee, I'll have to send her a telegram. Well, the Barcelona contract is interesting. It was for an opera called L'Africaine, and Caballé and Placido Domingo were going to be singing.
Mm.
And the contract was for Miss Donahue to sing the second soprano part.
Good company.
And I can see where in that kind of rather thin air company up there that they would need the somewhat larger, heavier voice which she possessed. Mm. And she is a wonderful singer, and I'm sure she'll do exquisitely well.
Now, aside from the three grand that you picked up for third place, what else does winning the auditions get you? I mean, the renown and the feather in your cap and stuff, but what tangible?
It looks good on the resume, for one thing. It's the kind of an accomplishment with which a large number of people can identify. So, like, I can number a number of the other accomplishments that I have, of which I'm very proud personally, and a few people would say, oh, yeah, that's great. But, you know, the guy down at the Sunoco station might not necessarily identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you mention the Metropolitan Opera, no matter in what connection, you know, everything from star singer on down to stage sweeper, everybody kind of lights up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. The other thing is, though you don't get immediate employment with the company, they continue to be interested in all of the singers who participate in the semifinals and the finals each year, which amount to about 22 to 23 singers. And when you run out of prize money, you can come back at six-month intervals and sing for more grants for the professional committee. And in fact, a lot of the singers who have placed in the national finals in previous years have eventually been given contracts at later times.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen Balthrop is a good example of this. There was no contract awarded the year she won, but now this year she appeared as Pamina in The Magic Flute,
mm-hmm.
so she's in the company now. So they do keep an eye on us, and we're never really quite out of sight. So it's very nice, and sort of like being under a protective wing. It isn't all over, in other words.
If they should offer you a contract, you wouldn't turn it down.
Well, I'd have to see it first. I couldn't say anything about that. Again, I'd like to go out and kind of make my way with other companies and do my thing, get my experience. I'd feel pretty uncomfortable walking on that stage at this point.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be at Tanglewood this summer, yeah?
Yes, I am.
In Mozart?
Yes, on July 15th, I'll be appearing with the Boston Symphony with Seiji Ozawa, and we're doing a sort of what we call a semi-staged performance of the Impresario by Mozart.
Hmm.
Riri Grist and Neil Rosenshine will be singing also. Also, I say also. I'm the one that's also singing. And it's going to be a great thing. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's your first time.
Yes, and I think that is pretty much coming out of my work from last summer as a fellowship student there. I sang a very nice audition for Mr. Ozawa, which he liked, sang Mozart on it, which didn't hurt, and then went on to sing on the Fromm Foundation concerts, a very difficult piece, which got me the recognition of the Hi-Fi Musical America Award for Vocal Achievement at the center, which sort of has a sort of a unwritten, nebulous, maybe, definite maybe that you might sing with the symphony at some later time. So they took me up on it, and here I am, so.
On the brink of a stellar career.
Oh, my goodness. we shall see. I just have to equip myself well that day and then see what happens.
So. Okay, let's listen to some more music. What's next?
We have the
Mio.
The Mio, Darius Mio, the Chanson Ronsard. There are four songs. And there are songs about birds. And one of them is actually about a fountain. And then the next one, it goes on like that. They're wonderful. They sound like little folk tunes.
Okay.
They're really sweet.
Okay. Une fontaine, which is at the fountain.
Mm-hmm.
A Cupidon,
which is to the god Cupid, or love, you know. Right. And that's a cute song.
And Shut Up, Little Babillard.
That's right.
Tais-toi, Babillard. And Dieu vous garde.
Which means God keep you. It's on the return of spring.
Okay.
Which we're all looking forward to. Okay.
Four songs by Darius Mio, known as the Chanson de Ronsard, not to be confused with his earlier four songs. I think there were four. De l'amour de Ronsard for chorus and orchestra, written around 1943, earlier than that, 33 or 34.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he wrote for voice and orchestra, by the way, the Four Songs of Ronsard. That was in 1941. And our orchestra today is Jim Wynn.